you in the 06010.
Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast presented by Geico. This is the CSS DFS podcast, Clay Squirrel and Smizzle, as it is affectionately known within the industry. I think we can say that, right?
Worldwide.
Yeah, it's really everywhere
at this point.
I mean, Yeah. I am sitting to my left. I am next to Michael Clay. Michael, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Daniel. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You look nice.
Thank you. I had to dress nice because we did two podcasts, and the first one's on video,
correct,
as you may know. So
yes,
I wanted to dress kind of decent and just throw a Lions jersey on or something who would do that. So
wow,
I'm ready to go.
We just want to say thank you very much for listening to this podcast, because you're either listening because you're ready to make a bunch of money in DFS, or it just autoplayed after the season long, in which case thanks for the impression, and we are totally fine with that too.
Yeah, just turn the volume down, walk away, just leave it on for a while.
Good to go. Cool. That it would be great. Also joined by Al Zeidenfeld, as always, all the way over from Southern California, sunny SoCal. Al, how you doing out there, bud?
I'm thankful that we don't have video for this, because I can just do this podcast in my bathrobe. It's early in the morning. I have my coffee next to me. It's a great morning here.
Mm-hmm. I've been meaning to speak to you, actually. Manscaped could maybe help some of the chest stuff you got going on there. So
I like my little salad. Leave me alone.
Well, that's fair. All right. All right. On that note, Mike, why don't you go ahead and tell our fine listeners how our standings turned out after last week's games?
Yeah, that's weird. You don't want to talk about that. That's
I just want to give you the ability to, you know.
No, thank you. Yeah, so I had 133.18. It was a low-scoring
week
across the industry. Even, like, the Millie Maker was low. The winner was Fantasy Fillin. So he filled in first place in standings.
Yes,
filled in real well. 186.06, pretty good number last week, certainly in our cash tournament here. So cash tournament, that doesn't sound right at all. It sort of is, right? It's like weird. Like, you and I face each other. That's why we made it. But,
right, you
know, you need to be a little bold to actually finish first place in this thing. And he certainly did that. So on the season, I'm up 6-4. We're following the trend of last season where we were around 500 halfway through, and then I kind of won every other match for the season. So we'll see if you can get back on track this week.
Wow, I like it. If I can tell you, based on how my lineup looks, I don't feel like I'm going to get back on track this
Neither
week.
Neither do I. It's a rough week.
It feels rough. So let's run people through it, because if we feel like our lineups aren't exactly where we want to be, then everyone's got to have a ton of questions, right?
Yeah, and by the way, as you're going to notice throughout this, and I think people realize as well that this is a great primetime schedule week, right?
Oh,
we just
man.
Talked about in the earlier podcast, some of the best offenses and best players in fantasy are playing, they're not on the main slate, and that's what we're talking about. So that's why it's going to seem like a weaker week than usual.
Yep.
That's why our lineups feel a little, underwhelming. But at the same time, we have to work with what we have here, and I think we can put some decent plays together.
I think we can too, and let's start that with the quarterback position, where if you're looking right off the bat to have a guy with a great price point, but hopefully a matchup that is worth taking advantage of. Mike, you love Joe Burrow, only $5,500 against Washington this week.
Yeah, and this was kind of predictable, because he had a very tough matchup last week, so we didn't think his price would go up by much, but the volume has been so good. He's fourth in the entire NFL in OFP, which is opportunity-adjusted fantasy points. He just had an opportunity to score a ton, and they have started to translate to fantasy points over the past month or so after a slow start. He's, again, only $5,500 against Washington. He's the 16th highest priced quarterback in this slate. He's averaging a weekly finish of 11th over his past five games. That is eighth best among quarterbacks. So, again, trending the right direction. First at quarterback and dropbacks. 10th in rushing attempts. The volume has been there. And by the way, Washington's sneaky bad. You know, we usually say sneaky good. They're sneaky bad against quarterbacks. They face the second fewest pass attempts, and they face the lowest pass OTD. So there hasn't been a lot of opportunities for teams to score touchdowns against them. They've allowed 161 fantasy points to quarterbacks. Not a big number by any means. But they've allowed the expected total is 126 based on what they have faced so far. That is third worst to only the Falcons and the Jags so far this season. 67% of quarterbacks are above their season average otherwise against Washington. That is fifth highest in the NFL. So they're finally facing a high volume quarterback. I think that Burrow could be a very sneaky good play this week. See what I did there?
I like that. I like that. You're so smart.
That was not planned either.
No.
Right off the cusp.
I could tell the way you winked at me when you did it that it was not planned. Let's pivot, Al, over to you. I want to talk about Lamar Jackson, because when you're looking at tournament lineups, is there anybody that potentially has a higher floor this week than Lamar?
I mean, Lamar presents an opportunity for a really high floor because of his rushing yards, which since like week five, when he had that really bust rushing game with like 3 rush yards, he's averaged 71.5 per game since. So he's basically averaged 7.15 points per game just with his legs. We have the opportunity for touchdown upside. Rushing touchdowns for quarterbacks are somewhat fluky, so we have that opportunity added on top of those 7 points. And what made him a great tournament play last year was the big splash ability of guys like Brown and Mark Andrews, who for a tight end does offer you big splash points as well as getting end zone targets when they get close. Tennessee's biggest weakness against quarterbacks has been giving up. They're like a pass funnel defense. So they've given up a lot of deep catches per game, good efficiency on balls that throw further than like 15 air yards. So this is a great opportunity for him to not just have a good floor, but present you an opportunity for a ceiling where he has not shown that this year. Just one game over 30 fantasy points. He's the highest priced quarterback on the board. I don't expect very many double stacks and bring backs with Lamar because of the price of his price point and some of the guys that are on the Titans coming back. This is a really good spot for tournaments for me versus the field.
Do you think that this is a situation, too, where people have seen Lamar struggle so much, so the idea is like, you know what, he just might not be in as many lineups as you would think because of those struggles?
Yeah, that's part of it. Like, I want to buy when everybody else is selling, and people are selling Lamar. So this is a spot where we can reasonably have an opportunity at a ceiling game that's going to be a higher percent chance than the percent of people that are going to play that combination of players in tournaments.
All right, so that's obviously, you talked about how he's a higher priced quarterback, especially for tournament play. If there was, you were looking at doing a tournament play at quarterback but did not want to spend up as much, is there a chance, Alan, I'm just going to throw this out here because the variance is all over the place, but is there a chance that Jameis Winston could actually work out for tournament plays this week?
He certainly can, and everybody was reasoning last year at the beginning of the year why he couldn't work out and giving us the reasons why he wasn't a good play and all the mistakes that he's made over the years and made last year. He was still in play for 300 yards pretty much every week that he took the field for the Bucs. Now if he takes the field for the Saints, because apparently that's still in question, I guess, like it might be Taysom Hill, whatever. I expect him to be the main drop-back quarterback, and if we get that news that he is the starting quarterback in this system, we have a great pass-catching running back. We have Mike Thomas, who's still there, and some deep threats that now he can take advantage of that Drew Brees didn't, and 7 times a quarterback has hit the 300-yard bonus against Atlanta this season. Hey, you could even correlate it with the Falcons' defense coming back.
Ooh, look at
that.
The
opposing defense, Jameis Winston, is very highly correlated.
Heck yeah. I like that. That's a great thought. Mike, quickly want to talk about another cheaper option, Carson Wentz. I'm assuming this is not just because you're an Eagles fan, but because you think there's something here against this Browns defense.
Yeah, as Kyle points out here, the Browns have not created much pressure this season, and that's going to be key because, you know, Wentz doesn't have a great supporting cast at this point, or at least they're starting to get healthier. They're coming around a little bit, but he's going to need some time, especially with that offensive line still missing some key pieces. So really the key here is he's only 5,700. He's facing a Cleveland defense that gives up a ton to opposing quarterbacks. So yeah, I think he's just a fine, cheaper option if you're looking for an alternative to maybe Joe Burrow.
Sure. We also really like Deshaun Watson and Justin Herbert this week. Mike, you just want to give me a quick one-liner on each one
of them? Yeah, if you want to pay up, right? If you want to pay up for a better quarterback, feel more secure there in cash. Deshaun's 6,500 against New England. He's been top 10 in 4 straight before last week. And then Justin Herbert, of course, even with less hair, is still only 6,800, you know? So the price, not too intimidating. 6 straight top 10 fantasy weeks, and he's facing the Jets at home. They've allowed the 4th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. They've made wholesale changes due to injury and roster moves at cornerback. Sets up for a nice week here for Herbert as well.
Heck yeah. I'm curious, Mike, do you own or rent your home?
I do. I do.
Okay. I'll bet it's a lot of work, too.
It is.
You know what's easy, though?
What?
Bundling policies with Geico.
That adds up. Okay.
Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house, Mike. Good thing that you can go to geico.com. You can get a quote. You could see how much you could be saving right now. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right. Let's move ahead to running backs, where it just feels like another week, another find a way to make Dalvin Cook fit in your lineup. Is that where we're at against this Dallas defense in spite of that $9,000 price point, Mike?
Yeah, when I'm building a cash lineup and I know that I have a number one at the position. I don't know what that was.
It was a
something just fell over.
It was a thing underneath here. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Just jarred me right away there. So anyway, if I'm setting my cash lineup, I'm going to try to compose myself.
I wish that people could have seen your face because you were like, what did I do? I don't want to touch anything.
Full disclosure. So we're in the studio where the NBA draft was taped last night, right? Yes. And everything's moved around and, you know, we're missing some pieces and stuff and things are, you know, now things are falling and I don't know what that was.
But can you imagine that Adam Silver and Woj were in here doing the NBA draft last night and now us hooligans are sitting here talking about DFS?
Yeah. What's more important, do you think? I don't know.
Probably DFS.
Probably
DFS. That's anyway, just because Al's on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, let's try this again.
Yeah.
So Dalvin Cook, should you pay up for him? I think yes. I think he's a great value. And again, when I'm setting my cash lineups and I know that I have the number one guy at a position projected well ahead of number two, just one of them guys that stands out, I always try to get them in my lineup. Sometimes that's been Devontae Adams in recent weeks. Dalvin Cook fits the bill this week. Last year it was Christian McCaffrey a ton. Now his price point was way more than this, over up and around 10,000 at some points. But we did it with Darren Waller. I believe that was last week. So that's always important for me. And Dalvin Cook fits that bill. So he's the second highest price running back to only Alvin Kamara, but he's 9K. He had 15 points last week, right? Which usually you're like, that's a decent number out of my player in my lineup. Yeah. But that is lowest output of the season. That gives you a tremendous floor. That's what you want in your cash lineup. He had 34 touches in that game last week and was still a top 15 running back. And what was a bad game for him? Unbelievable. 22 plus touches in six straight games, averaging 28 per game during that stretch. And the Cowboys are not good against the rush. Second most attempts and rushing yards allowed. They're averaging almost 5 yards per carry. That's six worse. Eight rushing touchdowns allowed, excuse me. They haven't done much against pass catching backs, but they've been just so good on the ground. That's where Cook really shines. So I think he's well worth paying up for.
Heck yeah. Mike, I am curious, with that price point, and you talk about wanting to find one of those higher price players, is that a thing that you specifically do just within cash, or is that a tournament strategy that you have as well when you're talking about the Dalvin Cooks or the Devontae Adams and things like that? Because you're obviously looking for the highest floor from that perspective. That's a cash game specific strategy that you have?
Yeah, I mean, when I'm building that cash lineup, absolutely. Now, do they have a place in tournaments? Absolutely. There's always, you want to look at ceiling. As long as you feel like that's a player that could go off for a huge game, you feel great about them in a tournament setting. So, Cook and Adams, we've had some fun with them in tournament lineups as well, for sure. There's no doubt about that.
Certainly have. Al, talking about some players that can have some big games, what are the chances that DeAndre Swift, after finally being handed the keys to the car, could go off against the Carolina Panthers and be worth it this week?
What are the chances that every running back goes off against the Carolina Panthers and is worth it on any week of the season? Yeah, it's very high, to quote Rogue One. 70.9% of snaps in week 10. That was the highest or the most by a Detroit running back this season. So as Mike stated a couple weeks ago, he thought that it was trending in the direction that Swift was going to take over the number one job. And finally, this is a merit-based promotion. He is the best, most electric back on the roster. He gets one of the best matchups in the league. And last week, 16 carries. Mm-hmm. He also got very involved in the pass game, as he has been. 81 yards rushing and 68 receiving yards. Pretty solid.
Really solid. I just want to say this. We have, especially as a Lions fan, you've been waiting for this. You've watched DeAndre Swift. If he didn't drop that touchdown in the first game of the season, how does DeAndre Swift just look different this year all the way across the board? I mean, is nothing against Adrian Peterson. It is nothing against any of that. But, he needs to be out there, and I am so excited because watching him run, not only do I feel like, is this a great play, like you said, Al, but he's somebody that is fun to watch. And as a Lions fan, I promise you, we have been starved for wanting to have fun players to watch football for quite a while now. So
Yeah, he looks fantastic. I talked about him on the other on the Focus podcast for a while there. Just a good matchup, good player, and the production's been there.
How about on the other side of that conversation, Mike? Because on the flip side of that, you've got Mike Davis. Mm-hmm. Obviously, again, going to have the workload this week, but he's kind of struggled the last couple of weeks. And by kind of struggled, I mean he's definitely struggled. Are you going back to the well with Mike Davis again this week?
Yeah, five straight weekly finishes of 20th or worse. I would say that's struggling for sure. Now, Christian McCaffrey did play one of those games. But again, as I laid out on the first podcast, he faced Chicago, New Orleans, Atlanta, Kansas City, and Tampa Bay. Those are some of the best defenses in the NFL, especially against running backs. That is not the case against Detroit. As you know, most fantasy points, touchdowns with 18, most rushing yards to running backs, top three in rushes, rushing yards, scrimmage yards, yards per catch, or yards per carry, yards per target. Five different teams' running backs have at least three touchdowns in a game against him, which is just unbelievable. I mean, that's just a huge amount of touchdowns to give up in one game to one position. So I feel like, again, kind of what we talked about earlier, people are going to be off on him. His price is way higher than it was last week. I think that is, you know, we're usually talking cash, but and I like him in cash. You can in tournaments, it's very attractive. I just think people are scared of him right now with that price increase and what he has done, and it sets up for a big game for him.
Heck yeah. As another fill-in that we want to talk about here, Al, Duke Johnson, obviously replacing David Johnson, who's still out with a concussion on IR for the next couple of weeks, taking on the Patriots. I think there was a lot about Duke Johnson's game last week that if you just look at the game log and see how bad it was, you might just be off of Duke Johnson altogether. But tell me why that is a mistake for people to do.
I'm always looking at the underlying things that lead to those points. Clearly, this was a terrible weather game with 40-mile-an-hour winds. The entire offense was thrown off. And if that offense can't challenge to guys like Fuller and guys like Cooks, who were extremely inefficient because Watson was inefficient, then therefore Duke Johnson's going to be inefficient. However, Duke Johnson played 51 snaps last week and ran 23 routes. And those two things are great signifiers of what he could be to this offense moving forward in better offensive environments, which this week should be against the New England Patriots defense. This looks like a great bounce back spot where people could be scared to click him because A, they played him last week and he didn't pan out. And B, he doesn't have this long track record as this great back, right? So he's at a kind of a cheap price point. Pricing has really moved up aggressively at the high end for running backs this week. So we're a little bit starved for value. And I think that Duke Johnson presents us at 5,400, a great value spot.
Okay. You're always looking for value. Value is what it's all about right now. So love that. Love that. A couple of the running backs here we want to mention. Geo taking on the Washington football team. Obviously, watch that Joe Mixon situation to figure out what happens there. It's all based on whether or not Joe Mixon plays.
Yeah, and Mixon very much looking doubtful. So that's why he's not mentioned here. But he is underpriced too. If he's back and he's a full go, the volume he's been seeing, he's underpriced for sure. And I think when he does come back from injury that first week, we're going to be talking a lot about him because he's going to be a good value. But again, looking doubtful, so Gio Bernard's the value play.
On the other side of that, you still have J.D. McKissic and Antonio Gibson, both who looked absolutely fantastic against Detroit. Again, like you said, it's the Lions.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously we're talking about Alex Smith coming in. So there, I think there's going to be that continued look to those running backs to utilize them in the passing game with Alex Smith under center. So whether or not they continue to do that every week and both of them score almost 20 points is up in the air, Mike.
Yeah, but I only welled you because I wouldn't say McKissic looked good. He just got thrown the ball every single play.
He had 15 targets. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I will say this. I tweeted about this a few times. Like, what are they doing? What a horrible plan in the first half to just force feed him the football. And they weren't scoring, right? They were just getting crushed. They could not move the ball. And then they stopped throwing to him as much in the second half. They got Gibson more involved, and suddenly they started scoring points at will, and Gibson scored two touchdowns, and they were much better. So that's the only thing that makes me nervous about him is maybe they say, you know what, that was not a good idea. Let's cut down on the McKissic targets here, and maybe things go a little bit better for them. I still think that there's a pretty good chance he pushes for 8 or 9 targets with Alex Smith back there, so he's an option, but I think there's maybe a chance based on what we saw in the second half that maybe there's a little bit of a change. But nonetheless, he's still underpriced. Gibson's still way underpriced. I like them both.
So I want to...
Like, if I told you in July that I thought McKissic could get 29 targets over the course of the 2020 season, would you have batted an eye? Would you say, okay, maybe, sure.
Yeah, I would have said I could see that, especially in the situation he was in. But anything close to where he is now is just...
Now, if I said 29 targets over weeks 9 and 10.
Right.
I would have said, man, he must be on a team that's like completely overwhelmed with injuries and has nothing to throw to. There's no way they have a player like Antonio Gibson or Terry McLaurin. They couldn't have a Terry McLaurin. If you told me he was going to go toe-to-toe with Terry McLaurin, I would have said, like, we don't need you on the podcast this year, sir. Like, there's just no way that's going to happen.
I like that he threw the sir in there just to make it
very
official.
Respectful.
We don't need you on the podcast, sir.
Listen, sir.
All right, let's spin this forward to wide receivers. Yeah. Mike, Jacoby Myers.
Of guys that are out of nowhere.
Yeah. Right? I mean, we're talking about this. I think there's a conversation here because taking on the Houston Texans, only $4,900. Have we actually found a Patriots wide receiver that we think is worth playing in DFS?
Yeah, I think so, just based on volume. Again, much like McKissick, although I think Myers might be a good player. In fact, I keep thinking of Victor Cruz with him. Remember, he came in at the huge preseason with the 4-touchdown game, and he was all hyped up, and then he got injured, and then he just really, he almost got cut. Like, he almost never made the Giants, and then finally he got a shot in the regular season and went off. And that's what's happened with Myers, right? He really impressed last offseason, played a little bit in the season, but not really. Then opened this season, buried on the depth chart. I think he was a healthy scratch a couple weeks. They weren't using him. Then Julian Edelman gets hurt. He gets an opportunity, and he looks like the real deal. So still only 4,900. 30 wide receivers are priced higher. If you look at his past four target shares, they are like peak Brandon Marshall territory here. 26%, 43%, 41%, 41%. I mean, that's where, like, even last year, Michael Thomas was not getting that sort of target share. So the usage has been tremendous. He's the number 9 scoring wide receiver in fantasy over the past 4 weeks. And that's without a touchdown.
I'm sorry, number 9 scoring wide receiver? Yeah. Wow.
He's 9th, and that's without a touchdown, too, which, again, you can't really expect touchdowns in that offense.
Yep.
Although they did throw a couple last week, so maybe they'll Campbell start throwing more. 14-plus fantasy points in 3 straight. Think about that compared to the price point of 4,900. He's been delivering a very high floor, and he's facing Houston, 10th most fantasy points to wide receivers. They've actually faced the 5th fewest routes against wide receivers, but they're allowing the 12th most catches and the 3rd most touchdowns. Their 71% catch rate allowed his 3rd highest. That's helpful for Myers, which, you know, you want a lot of high percentage throws going his direction. They're allowing them. So like him a lot this week.
Heck yeah. Al, I want to move it over to you so that we can talk about the number 2 pass catcher in this Washington football team's offense. Behind J.D. McKissick is Terry McLaurin. And you like Terry McLaurin this week.
Cincinnati's got the 6th worst red zone defense in the league, allowing a score 73.5% of the time. And you want some correlated anecdotal stats there, Daniel?
Yes, please. I love correlated anecdotal stats. They're one of my favorite things.
We were just talking about that earlier.
That's yeah.
Exactly. Right before the show. It's a big, big conversation point. At least 7 targets in every game this season, 7 or more targets in 7 or more catches in 4 straight games. And 12 times this season, a wide receiver seen 7 or more targets against Cincinnati, 11 touchdown receptions.
Wow. That's
so
a lot.
The puzzle pieces kind of fit in an anecdotal sort of way here for Terry McLaurin to actually get into the end zone. He's been so close. He's got like 7 catches and 98 or 95 yards a bunch of times the last few weeks, mm-hmm. and then just hasn't gotten to the end zone, hasn't gotten us the 100-yard bonus. So like his stat lines have been nice, but he hasn't had that tournament-winning day. And this does look like it in a pace-up situation. Washington is a faster-paced team than they were last year, but Cincinnati will play you in a pace-up because of how much they throw. So maybe extra throws, maybe extra plays, maybe extra catches. He can get over that 100-yard bonus and maybe sneak into the end zone.
So now, if you did autoplay this podcast after the first one, you're probably going to be like, no, wait a minute, why is Mike not speaking up? Because he said Terry McLaurin may have a downgrade matchup in mm-hmm. this one. Mm-hmm. That is something to keep an eye on because they do have one good corner in Cincinnati, and he shadows once in a while. That is William Jackson. If he shadows Terry McLaurin, that's going to be a tough matchup for him. That being said, it's not like I put McLaurin 52nd in my rankings, right? He's still a high-volume player. He's still a really good player. He's still the best weapon in that offense, no matter what J.D. McKissick truthers will tell you. So there's – and again, Al is talking about a tournament, so maybe I scare people off of McLaurin, and that's an opportunity to jump in there in a tournament setting. So I don't like him in cash, but in tournaments, a player like McLaurin is always on the table.
All right, so speaking
McLaurin's been somebody all year – sorry. Daniel, McLaurin's been somebody all year who's basically had a bad matchup every week except like one, right? Like Dallas was the only week where he didn't have a really tough matchup against the Giants, and Bradbury twice already. He had 27.5 points, 14.4. He's averaging 18.3 points, including a game against the Rams. I read your column every single week, and I use it as kind of a modifier, sometimes a tiebreaker when it comes to certain players. And I think that there are some players that just play through. Their talent shines through. And Terry McLaurin seems to be one of those guys who just not totally matchup independent, but he puts cornerbacks to work.
Yeah, and again, there's a difference, and that's one of the differences in tournaments versus cash, right? You may not feel comfortable with his floor in cash, but in tournaments, that doesn't really matter as much because if we're scaring people off of players, that's if they actually do go off, and it happens sometimes, it's all a range of outcomes. They could pay off in a huge way. You think about, I think the best comparison this year is probably the Seattle wide receivers, right? If Metcalf has a tough matchup, people go to Lockett, and then you should go to Metcalf because if he has a 2-touchdown game, it's going to pay off and he's going to be lesser owned. And that's, it's game theory. It's game strategy. It's part of the, it's gamesmanship. And that's part of the game when it comes to tournaments.
Yep. So one of the things that we talked about in our pre-show meeting, Mike, obviously you like Dalvin Cook in cash, but Al, you like a different Minnesota strategy when we're looking at tournament plays here. Kind of break this down for our listeners.
Now, I kind of wish that they didn't have a big game on Monday night because more traffic is going to go to this stack. So Kirk Cousins, anytime that a running back is going to be heavily played, you're typically not going to play the pass catcher and quarterback stacks in those games against them because there's negative correlation between a running back, quarterback, and wide receiver stack all going off. I think 0.7% of the time since 2005 have all three of a pass catcher, quarterback, and running back scored 25 plus DraftKings points in the same game, and they're all pretty predictable. It's like Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, and Drew Brees were like the highest correlate or highest combination of those three that has happened. And Dalvin Cook not all that involved in the passing game. So everybody thinks that Cook is going to be the guy this week, and I do too. I'm on that train as well. But from a tournament perspective, like Mike was saying, I want to access the ceiling. So we have guys like Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, one of the league leaders in end zone and red zone targets. And Dallas is in the fantasy carnival. This is where we've wanted to look to for fantasy points. We thought this a few weeks ago when the Pittsburgh Steelers were playing Dallas, that it was going to be Connor. Dallas made this game or that game pretty interesting in the first half, which led to a lot more usage in the passing game. As Mike stated in the last segment, we're more interested in capturing as much ceiling as we can against the amount of people that are playing a combination in tournaments. And if everybody's going to be on Dalvin Cook, 25 to 40% of the field going to be on Dalvin Cook, that means way less traffic on Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Kirk Cousins stacked.
Yeah, and just to, again, sticking with that theme of cash versus tournament, I mean, look at Jefferson so far this season. Three games with 9-plus targets and 22-plus fantasy points. Six games with 4 or fewer targets and single-digit fantasy points. He's really done it all in a small sample, and that's why you feel better about Cook's floor, which we talked about before, how high it is, and why you don't want Jefferson in a cash lineup. That's very risky based on what he has done so far, especially in this situation. But again, everything's on the table in tournaments. Everything is on the table. So even Anthony Firkser at tight end, because if he scores 2 touchdowns, no one else is going to have him in their lineup. We saw that, right? The 1 week he had by far the most fantasy points at tight end. So everything's on the table in tournaments. And again, that's where that game theory comes in. So well laid out by Al as usual.
Couple other wide receivers that we like here. Curtis Samuel taken on the Lions. Brandon Cooks, like him a lot, taken on the Patriots. Chase Claypool, Kenny Galladay. A couple of great value punts here. Mike, give me 2 or 3 value punts that you like at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, still KJ Hamler, 10 targets in back-to-back
still
games.
Still on KJ Hamler. He has 10 targets.
He had 10 targets each of his past two games, and he's in punt territory, so still crazy cheap. Denzel Mims, one of the best values on the board. Kind of a tough matchup against the Chargers on the road, but we saw him see some deep targets from Joe Flacco last week. And Jakeem Grant had again, heavily utilized last week. And
in the
still,
end zone, didn't he?
I don't know. Did he score?
Yes,
yeah.
He did.
Yeah, he scored. But again, the playing time and the targets were there. He's the number two receiver. So like him against Denver.
Okay. We're going to move ahead to tight ends and wrap things up here. And I just want to be quick on the tight end position. Not that we can't spend time on talking about them, but this is the lowest priced week I've ever seen the entire slate of tight ends be.
Yeah.
No tight end is above the $5,000 price point. $4,900 is the most expensive tight end on the slate. So with that being said, Mike, there's a tight end that you like this week taking on the Cleveland Browns, only $3,800 in Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, I don't like any tight ends.
Oh, sure. Like is a strong word. I get it.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the tight end for my favorite. Yeah, my favorite football franchise, Dallas Goedert. $3,800 at Cleveland. He's the 11th highest priced tight end. And again, in a bad slate, it's just too low. He played since his return a couple weeks ago. He's played 88% of the snaps and run 67% of the possible routes. Now, that number probably would surprise people because Richard Rodgers has been getting the big plays, but I think that's a little fluky. Goedert has been out there running routes. Last week, we started to see a trend in the right direction. He had 6 targets, a 17% share, not far off from where he was, even with Zach Ertz earlier this season. 59 air yards as well, an 18% share of that. Back when he was fully healthy early this season, he was targeted 8 or more times in both of those games, and it's an okay matchup. Browns, 10th most fantasy points to tight ends. He's been a little better lately, but at this price point, Goedert, again, he's one of them few guys you say, I mean, make a list of tight ends in this slate who you're like, yeah, I could see 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, there's not many. Goedert is one of them.
Absolutely is. Al, I think there's another guy that potentially has a high ceiling here, and it's Logan Thomas taking on the Bengals. Talk to me about Thomas this week.
Okay, so anybody that watches my videos or streams is going to be very upset that I'm about to say his name, because I'm not allowed to say his name. He is the name that shall not be spoken, but it is Logan Thomas, who has been tremendous this year from an underlying volume standpoint. 84.6% of routes per dropback, playing 87.5% of snaps. He's got a good amount of targets per route run. He has got a lot of red zone targets at the position, end zone targets at the position. This is a spot at 3,300 where, you know, this is a place where we're looking for value to fit in those high-priced running backs and high-volume wide receivers. So yep. Punting tight end always in play, and if you're going to punt with somebody who's on the field running routes and gets a lot of volume.
Love that. 100% with you there. A couple of other tight ends we want to mention, TJ Hockenson against Carolina. I do not think that you should be scared off against a down week last week. His consistency has been fantastic all year long. TJ Hockenson was banged up going into last week, so I think a guy that you can definitely look at this week. Mark Andrews, we like going against the Titans. Austin Hooper, we've talked about him for a couple weeks here in a row, taking on the Eagles. So a lot of tight ends and a lot of lower price guys. So definitely look at that when you're trying to figure out your roster lineup and how you want to build it. And speaking of building it and roster construction, Mike Clay, why do you not take us into your lineup for week 11?
Let's do it. Joe Burrow is the quarterback. No surprise. We talked about him. Dalvin Cook, forced him in there. Got to have him in there. But again, I didn't really need to force him in there. Just the optimal lineup definitely wants him in there. Mike Davis at running back. I'm going that direction. Antonio Gibson, sticking with him this week against Cincinnati. And then the wide receivers. Again, I feel like I've been able to spend up because there's been values at receivers. I'm gonna find some lower end values, if you will, here. Chase Claypool, 6,100. Curtis Samuel, 4,700. Jacoby Myers, 4,900. So not a ton spent there, but I'm making up for that elsewhere. Dallas Goedert is the tight end, and the Dolphins defense against Denver. I like them a lot, especially if Drew Lock is out.
Ooh, I like that. Who would be the starting quarterback if Drew Lock is out?
Brett Rippon, who I kind of low-key liked as a sleeper in the draft. Didn't get drafted, but he's, you know, anytime like it's an undrafted player and you're like, I kind of like them, and they stick around the league for a while, or even like a day three pick, I think that's usually a success story. Kind of like Nick Foles. I love Nick Foles. Nick Foles is one of my favorites. And
absolutely.
I think that's worked out for a day three draft pick.
Totally agree. Or Kalen Ballage, I think, is another great example. Right,
opposite
Mike?
Of the...
All right. Okay. Well...
yeah, Matthews liked to remind me that he's still in the league over the past couple of weeks, but... yeah, so far so bad in the efficiency for him, but the volume's been very nice for him in that Chargers offense.
All right, here is my head-to-head Week 11 lineup. I have Joe Burrow as my quarterback. I made this without looking at Mike's lineup. I want to be very clear about that, and you'll see that as we get into it. Joe Burrow as my quarterback. I have Dalvin Cook as my main running back with Duke Johnson, my number two running back. I'm rolling with Devontae Adams, Tyler Boyd, and Brandon Cooks as my three wide receivers. I have Logan Thomas as my tight end with J.D. McKissic as the flex. And I have, and Al, I have either the Cowboys, Jaguars, or Jets defense. I can't remember which one it is. Which one should I put in my lineup? Cowboys.
Yeah, so, I don't get the joke there.
I'll say the Cowboys. I had a little bit of money left. It's enough to choose between three defenses. I don't really care which one it is. It's either the Cowboys or the Jets taking on Minnesota or taking on the Chargers. I might go with the Jets.
Okay. Crowdsourcing your lineup. I see desperate times trying to catch up to me.
So the one thing I want to say about this really quickly is I've got two people. This is I've got two Bengals and two Washington football teams as a part of a cash game. And I'm not sure that I love having four players in a cash game from the same game. I kind of want to ask you guys about that from a strategy perspective, whether or not that's too narrow of a view within this field for cash lineups.
Yeah, I think it's somewhat risky for sure. If that game's a dud, you're in trouble, right? That's more of a tournament feel to me, so keep that in mind.
All right, guys, I'm going to jump in here real quick. Really sorry to say this, but the rest of our recording got cut off. We just had an issue in the studio. Nothing we can do about it, but rather than re-record the entire podcast for the last little bit, I'm going to throw to Al. He's going to give us his lineup, and then we'll say goodbye after that.
So my lineup this week is going to be a double stack of Houston with Deshaun Watson, Will Fuller, and Brandon Cooks. I'm going to bring that back with Jacoby Myers and his 40% of the market share for New England these last 3 weeks. Running backs are going to be DeAndre Swift. And just because I want to needle Mike, I'm going to throw Kalen Ballage and his tremendous volume the last couple of weeks. 18 carries, 5 receptions last week, and the coach basically just said that he is going to be the bell cow for them right now moving forward. And I'm going to have my secondary stack be my tight end and Derrick Henry. So I'm going to have Mark Andrews from Baltimore, bring that back with Derrick Henry and flex. So 2 premium options as a secondary stack. I'm going to make it all fit with the Falcons defense going against Jameis Winston. So that's what I got this week.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for sticking with us. And again, really sorry about all these issues. I know it's weird to go from sounding one way to another way and all of that stuff. So I apologize, but thank you so much. Have a great week 11. We love you guys. Don't forget to love each other. And we will see you in week 12. See ya.
You're in the 06010.